think general managers are going to be more in a hot seat than head coaches.
People have posed as me on Facebook before.
I don't know if one way or the other is better, but I know that we won a championship by letting men be men.
Happy Friday. Welcome in to Purple Passion. I'm your host, Brett Harris, and it is a big Purple Friday this weekend with the Ravens and Cowboys set at home here in Baltimore. And we have a great show planned for you today. And let's introduce our round table of opinions and personalities. We'll start with Kyle Richardson, the former Ravens punter, John Ogden, the Ravens Hall of Famer, and Qadri Ismail, the wide receiver, all here to kind of discuss. We have a lot to kick around today, but let's start with last night. I want to know what you guys were doing last night. We had the Orioles, we had the Steelers playing the Titans, and then we had the vice president debate. And I know you're big into politics. So what were you tuned into last night?
So I started off with the debate, watched that for like 15 minutes, flipped over to the Orioles game, went to the Pittsburgh game, back to the Orioles game to watch the all the way up into the 12th inning. And then I ended up finding out Pittsburgh ended up losing. So it was a great night.
And that Pittsburgh game right down to the final seconds in that one.
You know what? I just got in from home in Las Vegas last night, so I was a little tired, but I had to watch the Orioles game. I mean, I watched a little bit of the vice presidential debate, but after like 15 minutes, like you said, I heard the same stuff I heard in the presidential debate.
Right.
So I said, let's go with our boys who haven't been in the playoffs in 15 years. And unfortunately, because I was really tired, fell asleep at the 11th inning, but I woke up.
Oh, you missed the end.
I woke up to find out that they pulled it off. So
Q is on the buck truck, as we found out last week.
1,000% on the buck truck. Here's the cool thing. I was actually doing radio last night, so I was actually doing my Ravens Report show. My eye was on the monitor watching the Orioles game, and it was a close one in the beginning. Nate McLouth of the Clan McLouth did a fantastic job bombing it out there, setting the tone for the O's the rest of the night. I drove home, listened to the debate, as you're saying, and you can only hear but so much of it, and then it was about time to move on. I got home, sat in front of the boob tube. Boy, unbelievable game by Ben Roethlisberger. Not. And then at the same time, when it was all said and done, yes, the Steelers lost. I was living large on that. And then, of course, I sat there. My family, we stayed up late. We were all late for school this morning because we were watching the O's in the 13th inning get it done.
Game five tonight. It's going to be very exciting. You got the Orioles, the Titans, and Joe Biden, all winners last night. So it was a good night.
Joe
all
Biden, right. Your oh, opinion just, about that. Look at I you. Thought, I don't know.
I rattle the cage a little. Just see John's eyes. Okay, let's move on because it's a good time to go on to the next topic. ESPN this week ranking the top NFL stadiums to play in, and guess who is number one? Baltimore. The fans here are awesome, and M&T Bank Stadium, one of the toughest places to play. The Ravens have won 13 straight on the home turf. No place like home for this team. Guys, you played there. What makes it so special playing here in Baltimore?
I think the biggest thing from M&T's standpoint has to be Ray Lewis's dance. It sets the tone for the crowd to get up in the uproar. And we've seen it for so many years. As a player, now as a broadcaster, the goosebumps that I get when I see him come out there, the other team even looks at it and gets all hyped up and excited. Guys don't even form a line like they're supposed to have Ray go through the gauntlet because everyone wants to see the dance. And it is a tradition. It sets the tone. It's a blue-collar city. People are into the game, and it is amazing.
And Q, you see the other team watching this dance too. They're seeing this environment. They're seeing what happens. And like you say, Q, it sets the tone through Ray's dance. Everybody's watching.
I'm going to echo that. Ray Lewis's dance is tremendous. But it also harkens back to that this team has traditionally had a great defense. And when you have the noise and these fans as loud as they get, and they give that defense that boost, and Ray gets out there pumping that fist, and, you know, teams are intimidated.
Three and out is the hardest thing to overcome when you put that pressure on the other team.
And one of the things I think that this stadium has that other stadiums have now copied, the newer stadiums, that doggone video board. When I first got here, everybody's like, oh, they got a video board that sideline to sideline. You got two of them on each end of the stadium. I'm telling you right now, from an intimidation factor, just seeing that and how and the way they use the videos to hype up the team, spot on perfect for the production crew.
And how about the fans? They're really pulled in.
Talking, you guys are talking defense. How about offense? And how about the star over here of Move Those Chains? This is a guy that started it all.
Back in the day.
Ray Lewis dance. Move those chains. We got the Move Those Chains.
Move Those Chains.
He still got it.
I still got it. I get a little fired up now just thinking about it.
He's got his whole section down on that one side of the stadium.
And the tradition continues. That's got to be pretty cool when you go down there on game days and see that.
Oh, cool to know that. I was we were playing the Redskins, and we were just beating them up in the old, and not RFK, the FedEx Field. And, you know, we were just, Bam Morris was gashing them. And I just remember, that's how long back that
Bam
goes.
Yeah.
And I just remember just going, move those, doing that first down one. Yes. Think about, you know, when the boards came up, all of a sudden that popped up on the boards. And I was
that
like,
shot,
that works. That works.
Demoralized.
Yeah, you guys know what you're doing in production up there.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers from this home, playing at home. Plus, by the way, I have a few numbers as well just in this home winning streak.
Wow.
The turnover ratio in this 13-game winning streak is a plus 13. They've got 43 quarterback sacks. This is really difficult for opposing offenses because of the crowd noise, and the numbers certainly reflect that, guys.
But it's called the intelligence. It's football intelligence, and not just as far as the players are concerned, but also the crowd. The crowd understands when to cheer, when not to cheer. They sense – when I sit back and watch them – cheer for whether it be the guys going up against Tom Brady and just the electricity there, but then to follow back up, same kind of energy against Cleveland on a Thursday night. They know it's a division opponent. They recognize what it's all about. And that, to me, whether they're saying Reed or whether they're getting hyped up because of Joe, whatever it might be, they have strong football intelligence.
All right, looking at that list as we now go from 2 through 6, Seattle, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Denver, Kansas City, all very tough places to play. And you guys have played in all these places.
Yeah.
For you, what was one of the more difficult road venues to play in?
Well, back when we were playing, I think, you know, obviously Seattle, their new stadium, I did play in that towards the end of my career. That has to be the hardest. I mean, the way that that stadium is configured, it just, you had the overhang that traps the noise inside of there, one. So that 12th man is huge. You know what's funny is actually the place I found the hardest place to play when we were there, or when I was there, was Arizona, because there was only about 5,000 people in the stadium, and you could hear all 5,000 cuss words.
Let me tell you this.
It was intimidating for me.
Let me tell you this.
Because it was so quiet.
Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh, when you're sitting there, and all of a sudden they play that stupid stick song, and it infects your mind. As a matter of fact, I remember the one year Joe throws an interception. That's when T.J. Hushmanzada gets the game-winning touchdown. Well, you know, I'm going in and I'm talking to Joe after the game. He goes, oh, my God. I don't know what I was thinking. They played that stick song, and I was like, you know, darn it. As soon as the ball left my hand, I was like, no. It does have an effect on you when you talk about just a stadium and the intensity of the crowd, but also how the people use the crowd's momentum in their favor, and in particular when they play that stick song.
I bet you have Renegade on your iPod. You probably work out to it all the time, right?
It's probably, you can't say the word. Don't say the words in this hallowed hall, this
could
building
you hear,
here.
J.O., could you hear the opposing fans? Could you hear the words? Did you know what they were saying, or was it just the crowd noise that got to you? Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Yeah, could you?
Oh, no. For me, as an offensive lineman, it was a function about who I was playing. So for me, I thought Indianapolis was one of the most difficult places in the world because they had the dome, which traps the noise as well. So you can't hear anything. And then you got old Dwight Freeney out there lining up, just stomping his foot. So you would look at the ball, then you look at Dwight, and then you try to watch the ball. And as soon as the ball was snapped, I'd look, he seemed to be right at my shoulder. That dude was so fast off the ball. So Indianapolis was the toughest place.
Personal
but all those other places were personal experience.
Tennessee
exactly.
Titans back in the day, 99, 2000.
Yeah, very, very
oh, my God.
By Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers ship going off.
There's certainly
one thing,
some tough ones around,
like
around the NFL. Oh. And certainly when you're on offense, you guys had to deal with it on the road the most.
Yes.
All right, we're
going to
take a break here. Coming up on the other side, some of the offseason moves, which ones turned out and which ones maybe didn't. Plus, we have a trivia coming up that I think you guys, I think, studied for. Remember, also, if you want to get your Twitter question on the show, just hashtag it Purple Passion, and we'll get it on some of the best ones. We have some coming up in the show. And also follow along at MD Lottery for all your information on the Ravens Cash Fantasy. We're back with more Purple Passion after this.
The Maryland Lottery's presentation of Purple Passion is brought to you by the Ravens Cash Fantasy Scratch-Offs, only from the Maryland Lottery.